to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he talked about the future of, you know, all the privileges that would be there for the children of God in the long run, keys to the kingdom and so on. So, you know, the way the disciples were kind of competing, that was like a big win for sure. Because, you know, Peter, they were always jockeying back and forth. But imagine you give an answer and not only, yep, that's right, but you heard from God. That's amazing. So I'm sure Peter felt really, you know, puffed up. So then Jesus, it says, he began to explain to them that he was going to have to go and get arrested by the Jews, be tried by the Romans, and be crucified, and then he would come back 3 days later. Well, they didn't even hear the 3 days later part. Peter speaks up and he goes, no way. Jesus, let me correct you here. Let me remind you who I am. I'm the one who hears from God. I just told you a word from God and you acknowledged it. You've given me the keys to the kingdom. You're not going to go die on us. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. It's like kind of harsh, really, but as he says, get behind me, Satan, down in verse 23, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man. He said, you're only thinking about things from your personal human perspective. You're not seeing the bigger picture. You really don't get it. You truly don't actually. Yeah, you can say you believe I'm the Messiah, but if you don't understand that I'm about to go to the cross, then you don't have a clue about what it means for me to be the Messiah. You don't have a clue about what's ultimately going to happen. And so in the middle of this rebuke, he makes these, in verses, you know, 24, 25, 26, this incredible revelation that's so important for all of us to understand if you're going to follow Jesus. Now, he says, if you want to follow me, they had already followed him. You know, he had invited them, follow me, and they had done that. Much as for many of us, there was a time when someone presented the gospel to us and we heard, yeah, Jesus is God, he died for your sins, rose from the dead, you can be forgiven if you ask him. And we're like, yeah, count me in. I'll follow him. Yes, I'm a Christian, but it's not just that. That's important. But at the same time, he's letting us know it doesn't just stop there. Yeah, I told you to follow me and you followed me. But here's something that you better understand or nothing else will make sense to you in your life. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone, and there were his disciples he was speaking to. Last week, Justin talked about what that means, that they're students, that they're ones who want to, you know, help other people to become students. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You think that, oh, you're telling me I don't have to go to the cross? I'm telling you, you have a cross that you better learn to take up as well. For, in verse 25, whoever desires to save his life, his soul, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's kind of confusing. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, the whole cosmos, everything about this system, you own it all if you could. But you do that and you lose your own soul. Soul, the psuche, the essence of who you really are. You lose that, it doesn't matter what, how much stuff you have. It's no compensation. But he says, you lose your own soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So that was like, whoa, that was a lot for them to stomach. They probably really didn't completely understand even what he was talking about. But they came to understand it ultimately. What Jesus is saying here, first of all, is Following me is a process. Following me is not a decision that you make. It's not like, okay, you pray that prayer, you make that step, now you're done. And I think a lot of times we think that you can follow Jesus just because you've asked him to forgive your sins. But following Jesus is something that is either a life that you either do or you don't. You're either making progress or you're not. And so he never offered the kind of a following that would be like, you say you want to follow me and you can follow me. We even saw this hint when he talked to the rich young ruler. And the guy goes, I want to follow you. And Jesus goes, okay, let's start with this. You're rich. Give away all your money and give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. Now, he hadn't said that to Peter and Andrew and James and John. He hadn't told them that. In fact, they still had some of their assets because later they were able to go back and go fishing. So they still had their boats and fishing gear and things like that. But for that guy, he goes, it's more than just that. Following me does not just mean you want to be, you know, somebody as a result of your relationship with me. It is a process. And I think sometimes we don't consider that enough. Now, in this verse, as he says, if you desire, that word desire is in the present tense. In the Greek, the present tense means it's continuous action. A better translation would really say, if you are desiring to come after me, then deny yourself and take up your cross. And the word follow is in the present tense as well. So he's saying, if you are wanting to continue to follow me, deny yourself, taking up your cross is a part of the process of following me. So far, so good. That still isn't, you know, except that a cross is kind of a scary thing to take up. Because Jesus' point here is not just, you have to continue to follow me. That was sort of a given. But he's saying, you have to follow me and it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. In fact, right off the bat, I'm telling you, take up your cross and follow me. Understand. Now, they were familiar with the image of the cross, not in the way that we do it, just associating with Jesus. The cross was what anyone who was convicted of a capital crime, they would be required to carry their cross through town and off to the outskirts of town where they would be crucified. It was an object lesson to everyone else. You're looking around and you see here comes this guy lugging a cross. He's about to die. Jesus had been telling them, I'm about to die. But now he says, you better come to terms with that too. You need to accept the fact that there's a cross. And initially, that is, you'll never have a perspective on life until you understand that you're going to die. Now, of course, if you're a Christian and you die, there's life after death. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, this life is limited. This life has its boundaries. And you're not even sure when you're going to die, but you need to start by recognizing that you're going to die. Following me is going to hurt. It's going to be painful. Now, it seems like kind of a ripoff. Like, why should following Jesus be so painful? Well, I mean, following Jesus is painful. Not following Jesus is painful. Life is painful. But you can decide whether you embrace the opportunity to suffer for him, to suffer for something that matters, when what it ultimately means is there's this incredible awareness that you can grow in to begin to understand not just who he is, but who you are, to know your soul, to be in touch with your soul. You pick up cross and you do that. Because he says, crazy thing is, you live your life trying to rescue yourself. You'll end up losing yourself. But if you are willing to lose yourself for my sake, if you're willing to say, I'll do whatever I have to do to walk with Jesus, to follow him, then you end up finding yourself. You end up finding your soul. Life is a process of either growing into a greater awareness of who we really are, or growing in a way that we fall away from and lose sight of who we are. And we kind of choose which way we're going to do it. But knowing who you are is one of the most important things that you could ever experience. And it starts with a cross saying, whatever life has for me, I am going to follow Jesus. And that means there's a cross that I have to bear. I'm going to live my life every day understanding it's precious. It's valuable. You know how this is when there's someone that you love who dies. And you're like, whoa, it's hard because you're going to miss them. But it's also hard because you realize someday that's going to be me. Someday I am going to be that person who dies. And that can sometimes be crushing. Some people are living under the illusion that they're going to just, well, I'm not going to die. I'm so healthy. You know, I keep reading about AI. They'll make you live forever and all this kind of stuff. But the truth is, it's a very positive thing to understand that this life has an expiration date and we aren't really sure where it is. Because then we understand, you know what's so important is for me to discover what I was put here for. As Paul said, for this was I born, for this came I into the world. I want to figure out who I am, and I want to figure out what I'm supposed to be, what my place is in life. And I understand that that's going to hurt. I know for me, as I get older, I look at the obituaries in the newspaper. You know, see, and it used to be, oh, yeah, there's one of my old teachers that died. Then it's like, wait, these are some of my classmates. But I was born in 1953. So as long as the people who died in the 30s or something, I'm like, yeah, you know, they had it coming. But not really, but it's like, seems a long ways away. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing people who were born in the 60s and 70s who are dying, and they weren't like killed by somebody. They got sick and died, and all of a sudden, death becomes more real. And either that can set you free to really discover how precious life is, or you can try to run and protect yourself from it. Trying not to die doesn't make you not die. We're all dying. But trying not to die will often make you not live. We are all created with a self-preservation instinct. And it's a good thing. Sometimes it saves us. You know, we have this thing where, danger is here, and I want to cover up, I want to hide, I want to protect myself. But the ironic thing is that same, you know, self-preservation instinct is also what keeps us from everything most important in life. Because we are created to live a life that is risky. We're created to live a life that expires. We are created to live a life where we are investing in something, and that investment has eternal ramifications. But in this life, it's not going to last forever. And yet, so often, we protect ourselves so much by mitigating risk. Our society is obsessed with safety. We're trying to do everything we can to make people not be at risk. So, like, we have all these laws and all these precautions, and, you know, remember when they used to have those, people don't really use them anymore because they found out they don't work, but those things you put in your windshield to keep the sun out of your car when you park, maybe some of you still use them, but whatever. But they had to put a warning on them. Don't drive your car with sunshield in place. But that's our society. There are warnings on everything, laws about everything. Kids in school aren't allowed to jump out of a swing. They aren't allowed to wrestle around or even run because they might fall down. I understand you want to protect people, but you can get ridiculous about it and end up eliminating what is life itself. When I drive home every day, I go up Oso and I go past where Tesoro High School is, and I see these kids, like 12, 13-year-old kids, boys, girls, riding these electric bikes. And they're flying. Those things go 35, 40 miles an hour. But they're not just riding them. They're riding them, popping a wheelie, going up Oso, zigging out in and out of traffic. And some of them don't even wear helmets. Some of them have a little styrofoam helmet that wouldn't do anything. It might keep all the pieces in a bag, but that's about all it would do. And my first instinct is, when are they going to make a law against these things? Because I'm sure they will. And I hear that all the time. These kids, one of them is going to get hurt. But the way I look at it is, thank God these kids have something dangerous that they're still allowed to do. Because you are more alive when you're taking some of those risks than if you're living your life all cautious and careful and fragile, and you don't even have those opportunities. There's something really thrilling. I hated when they made you wear a helmet with a motorcycle. It's like, come on. You know, you can die with a helmet on, but at the same time, for me, I always said, when I'd get on my motorcycle and go riding down PCH, it was like a really cheap therapy session. Everything in life felt better when the wind was, when I had hair too. But it's like, what are we doing? We are eliminating risk. Well, a lot of people do that with their whole life. They just try to be as careful as they can because somehow we think we can defeat the inevitable. The fact that everybody has their time, everyone has, what's going to happen. You can't predict when it is, but the amazing thing that happens is if you decide to protect your life at all costs, you just lost your life. You just wasted your life. You just avoided everything that makes people feel alive. And so we're selling motorcycles after... No, I'm just kidding. But, one of my favorite books, a gal named Anne Dufourmentel, she was a French philosopher and psychologist who wrote a book called In Praise of Risk. And I love that book. The reason the book got popular is right when she wrote it, before it was published, she was in her 40s. Remember when you thought that was young? And she was at the beach and some girls were drowning and she swam out and rescued these girls, but she drowned in the process. And it's like, nothing could make that book more real when she's talking about risk is what life is comprised of. You eliminate the risk, you eliminate life itself. And, some of the things that I've done in serving the Lord were like kind of risky, kind of crazy. Some of the things that have happened on missions trips, for instance, where one time we were in El Salvador and we got kind of lost because the pastor that was with us didn't know where he was going, and some hijackers tried to rob us, and we ended up getting pulled off the road, and then we just barely got away, and it's like, that was so stupid, but I'll never forget it. And you never feel more alive than when your heart's beating and it's thumping. And then what happened in that case, these guys got out with guns, were coming to our car, and we're out in the middle of nowhere between Guatemala and El Salvador, and here comes a car. There's headlights. And so these guys ran back to hide, and we took off ahead of the car with the headlights and got away. And it's like, I don't think I've ever felt so alive in my life. I wouldn't trade that experience away, even though I wouldn't necessarily want to repeat it. But understanding, okay, this life with Jesus is a process, and if you make your decisions based on fear, if you think you can avoid the cross that he has for you, and again, everyone has their, in the Greek, it says, take up his own cross. It's like, you have yours, I have mine. But that cross leads us to life in the same way that Jesus' cross led to giving all of us life. But again, in our society, we're not comfortable with pain. And so we, look at how much is invested every year on things that will eliminate pain. And look at the side effects of that which eliminates pain. Think about the people who become addicted to drugs or to alcohol or, other stupid behavior that's supposed to make you feel better. Watch the drug commercials on TV late at night. And it's like they have to tell you the side effects. And I mean, one of my favorites is one where if you have this little skin condition, like psoriasis, there's a pill that might help you, but it also sometimes makes people kill themselves. Like, but that's life. The more you try to fix pain, the more you put yourself in jeopardy of missing out on life itself. And so Jesus goes, if you want to live your life trying to rescue your life, trying to be safe, you just lost it. But if for my sake, you allow me to lead you wherever it is that I am leading you, and ultimately that fear is not a factor for what you will do or not do, you set that aside. Not that you don't have fear, but that you go, that's not how I make decisions. Most of the worst decisions you've ever made in your life, it was because you were afraid of something. And so Jesus is telling the disciples, this is going to get real. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to go to heaven. And ultimately, you guys are all going to die too. Can you embrace the fact that you have an expiration date? Can you embrace the fact that between now and then, there's going to be a lot of pain? Because if you can't, you'll miss out on your very soul, on who you are at its essence. See, ultimately, a lot of times, and well, in here, when he says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Sometimes we don't read that correctly. He's not talking about like the movies where a guy sells his soul to the devil so that he can be a rock star or something. He's saying, what would you give in exchange for your soul? To really know who you are, to really be that person at your essence that you were created to be, how much are you willing to give up in order to discover that? Now, none of us completely know who we are and what we were born to do completely. We're all in a process of doing that. But what life is the process of going, I understand more now than I understood 10 years ago, 5 years ago, because I'm on a pathway of really, in a lot of ways, self-discovery. Now, the whole maxim, know thyself, it was big with the Greeks. Suppose it's on the temple of Apollo, and then you go through church history, it was used a lot, know yourself. It was throughout church history, it became the idea that because you're created in the image of God, when you study yourself, what's in your heart, you'll end up finding the God who is within you. So you can take that or leave it, but they understood that. Of course, know thyself was behind all the study of anatomy. It was behind the study of psychology. So much has been inspired by the notion you need to know yourself. But what Jesus is saying here is, you will never know yourself until you follow me as a process, and then you are willing to hurt. Like I say, it's not like it doesn't hurt to not follow him. Life hurts no matter what. It's just a question of you pick your poison. Would you rather hurt for doing something that God says is going to help you to develop into the person that you were meant to be, or would you rather hurt for absolutely nothing? So many people live empty, meaningless lives because they're afraid to take risks. But as we follow him and he leads us, we begin to find out that our soul is actually developing. Who we are, the permanent part of us, you know, our mind, our will, our emotions. It's interesting, scientifically, we even understand now, because we have some equipment that can sort of measure it, our brain, where that's the seat of kind of our consciousness, is developing constantly. It's actually interacting and creating new cells, new connections. When we grow and when we learn, that's a process that our body was designed to do. Our soul is that way. We're not designed to just stay where we are, be who we are, never change. We're designed in a way that we become more and more connected with what we're here for in the first place. That is, who we truly are. And so he just says, following me, that's how it works. That's what happens. If we follow him, then we start finding out, I'm actually growing. I actually have a better understanding of why I'm here. If you don't take risks, you'll never understand some of the most important. I mean, there are people who have no connections with other people because it's too risky. There are people who have never really taken a chance on a relationship. There are people who've never taken a chance on stepping out and changing careers or whatever. All of those things that potentially could be like, wow, I am discovering more and more who I really am. And sometimes those things are forced on us, but most of the time, it's a choice. Will you follow him and take those risks? Will you follow him and deny what your heart is telling you so that he can then lead you into the discovery of what it is to truly walk with him? And the obstacle to that almost always is your own personal cross. That's what's holding you back. And so you have to be suspicious of any decision making in your life that's primarily motivated by, I don't want to be uncomfortable. Because that was the mentality of the disciples. That's why Peter's like, no way, Jesus, that's not going to happen to you. You know, man, no way. And that's why Jesus called him Satan. Because Satan is the one who wants us to think that we can just be safe and everything's going to be fine and we don't have to do anything. We don't have to grow. We don't have to expand. We don't have to take risks. Jesus is the one who goes, no, you don't understand. You will begin to find life when you understand what's involved with taking the kinds of chances that I present to you. And I'm not saying you should take every risk that's there. Again, what I'm saying is you should never not do something just because it's scary. That's the worst reason in the world not to do something. So you come to Jesus, you're going to walk with him. He tells you, you want to come with me? This is a process. And it's a process that's going to be painful. But in the end, it's a painful process that will lead you to discovery, not just of others, but discovering yourself. And in the end, you will find, as he said, I put everything aside in order to discover the soul of who I am. I'll trade anything for my soul because my soul is the gift that God has created within me, and I want to accept that over everything else. It's a hard concept to grasp, for sure. And the truth is, most people in this life have never really discovered who they truly are. And maybe you're somebody who's just like, yeah, I'm just here, I just fit in. What would you want people to say about you after you're gone? What do you admire in other people who are gone? Because we're all dying, okay? I mean, yeah, I know, unless the rapture comes and protects us, but we better live like we're dying. Otherwise, we're never going to even figure out how to live. and that life is incredibly important. I remember reading about years ago, Ray Romano, who had that show Everybody Loves Raymond, and he had moved from New York to LA to make this TV show, and it was hugely successful. He made a ton of money. Finally, they decided to bring it to an end, and the last show, last week of the show, they recorded it before a live audience, and he told the audience, you know, this is our last show, so hang around afterwards, and the cast members will come out, and we'll answer questions. And so one of the people in the audience asked Ray Romano, so what do you do next after this? And he said, well, when I moved to Los Angeles, I got here, and I went to my hotel, and I opened my suitcase, and my brother had put a slip of paper in my suitcase that said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So he said, I guess next I'm going to try to find my soul. Maybe some of us have never had anyone remind us of that, but that's how important it is. That's what following Jesus looks like, that I am going to go after what he tells me to go for. In the process, I want to have the integrity to say, I need to figure out who I am. That's part of my job. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow him. And in the end, I'm going to believe that even if I lose everything, I end up gaining my soul. I end up gaining a priceless, you know, element of who I am that then makes life completely worthwhile. It's a choice that we make. We can play it safe. It's certainly, you know, like C.S. Lewis had them say about the lion Aslan who represented Jesus. You know, is he safe? And he goes, oh, he's not safe, but he's good. That's your life. Is it safe? No, but it's amazing what God has for you and what he wants to do in your life. If you can get over this hurdle of thinking that you need to be careful, that you need to protect yourself from anything God might do. No, it's like, I'm going with him. He went to the cross. I'm going to have my own cross. But I'm trusting him that if I'm willing to risk my soul, that I will end up finding and discovering my soul in a way that I never could have understood otherwise. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder from your word, from our Lord. We all struggle with who are we? What are we supposed to do? Ever since we're little kids, people are going, what do you want to be when you grow up? And a lot of us are old and we're still like wondering, what do I want to be when I grow up? Lord, help us to start with denying ourselves and taking up our cross, saying it all starts fresh today. Give us the integrity to live our lives completely focused on you, sold out for you. And then we will trust you that in the end, anything we lost was more than made up by a soul that's committed to you, by someone who died following you the whole way. Help us, Lord, to do that, to be faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.